B-Pod Studios.
Like, I didn't really pay attention to it, and now I'm pissed.
Rich. Going to dress as an ape and jump out of the bushes.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Edwards to 12 feet. Drop back to Robert Williams. Cranks one up from the top of the circle and hits on his career night. 18 for Robert Williams in 16 minutes. He is 7-for-7 from the floor. That's the longest jumper he's hit in the NBA.
Those numbers are going to look so good.
Danny Ainge. He is the Celtics president of basketball operations. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Rich, John, Joe. How are we doing today?
Excellent. Are you in the bubble, or are you still here in Massachusetts?
Yeah, no, I'm actually on the West Coast right now today.
Okay. All right. Now, do you plan on going to the bubble? Like, is there a certain level that the team will get to, or a certain round, and then you'll end up kind of stationing yourself there for a while?
So probably not stationing myself. We've got a lot of stuff going on, getting ready for free agency and draft and all those types of things. And so I think that depending on what we're going to be able to do more than what we're doing now, which is mostly watching film and having meetings on players, But I probably will go down to watch some games.
How tough is this for you with this shortened? Because, I mean, obviously you don't have a ton of time to plan for next season when it comes to the draft. How intense is this couple of months getting ready for, obviously, a very important part of the season for you, the off season?
Well, you know, we're staying prepared. I think we're ready to go right now, if we had to, with the draft and with free agency, but we're continuing to have more and more conversation. We're watching all these NBA games. I think they've been very exciting and fun. Not surprising to me, but I've really enjoyed watching the games. The intensity of the games have been top-notch, top-level, and it's been fun watching the NBA back in action.
I mean, as far as like the draft and the decisions that you're going to have to make, and these, you know, the scouting and these looking. I mean, you didn't have a March Madness, you know, and in this environment, it's tough to be in contact with a lot of these guys. How tough does that part make for you with this shortened season?
Yeah, you know, it's not quite the same as doing Zoom calls with players, as meeting them in person, watching them work out. So it is a little more difficult for sure. And I'm hoping that we'll find a way to have a little bit more contact with some of these potential draftees. It's not easy, but it's not easy on the kids. It's not easy on anybody. It's, you know, I hate to say it's not easy for us because, you know, I think the kids are the ones that miss out on the March Madness more than we do.
Like, are you doing, like, virtual workouts? Is it almost kind of like you're getting videos like Uncle Rico and Napoleon Dynamite, just like them filming themselves doing things? Like, how different is that part of it?
Well, not directly, no. We're not doing virtual workouts yet. We're doing just interviews. And I think the virtual workouts are potential next step, but not sure how beneficial those are. We do get a lot of videos sent to us from guys that are working out. We do see a lot on Twitter and Instagram of players working out that are in the draft, and usually they're best dunks and things like that. But no, it's just as much as anything, we're just watching them play real college basketball games. I mean, we're just studying more people and more people for longer periods of time than we have in the past.
Danny, you're only 2-2 since the restart, but from where I sit, there's a lot to like. I mean, you were telling us that Kemba Walker's knee is pretty good, and in the minutes that he's played, he looks fantastic. Jaylen Brown has taken a step forward, and Jason Tatum has kind of picked up right where he left off. There's a lot to like about your team right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think last night's game was our best performance as far as just defensive intensity throughout stretches. It's been a pattern of ours all year, where we have these stretches of defense where it's spectacular, and then you just one person takes the foot off the gas, and our defense takes a step back. And you know, we really have to get back to playing that defense for more minutes as we head into the playoffs. And I think the bubble's been good for us to see who's how teams are playing to see where our team is. Last night was a good opportunity for us to see some of the guys that don't get a chance to play that we still really believe in. And but you just, as the average fan, just doesn't get an opportunity to see what those guys are capable of doing.
Hey, Danny, has there been any discussion about seeding and maybe resting players? I know Kemba's not playing a back-to-back, but we saw Milwaukee sit players in the second half. You know, the Lakers did it last night. Is there any discussion on, you know, seeding and where you guys want to end up when it's all said and done?
Yeah, so, I don't think those teams are doing it for seeding. I think those teams are doing because, you know, they have incentive to win just to maintain number one home court advantage throughout the entire playoffs, even against each other. So I think that the decisions that we've made are based on the health of the players. Some of the decisions that we make, like the Kemba decision was made before we even started playing in the bubble down there. So I think that we're trying to win every game. We're trying to go out there and compete. And yet at the same time, we're trying to make sure that all of our players are healthy by the time the playoffs roll around.
Who are you expecting the most out of right now on the bench? Like from the guys, I'm not talking like, you know, the first couple. I'm talking the ones that you're hoping can make some sort of contribution to this team. We're talking about Waters and definitely Carson Edwards, another guy that I know that you're a big fan of. Last night we saw it with Robert Williams. Which ones of these guys do you think has earned their right to be able to play real minutes when it comes playoff time?
Well, you know, so first of all, Robert Williams was playing real minutes. He's playing every night, playing in games and so forth until he got hurt. He's proven to be a good player. Last night he proved, you know, we have three centers and they can all play. And so matchups may determine some of that. Romeo Langford also was on a really nice run when the season ended. And I thought he had a really good game last night, came in the game early, contributed. We were plus 27 when he was on the court for 20-something minutes of the game. His defense was outstanding against their excellent players and two starters for them, Caris LeVert and Joe Harris. He was doing a fantastic job of guarding them, matter of fact, better than anyone else on our team, except maybe Marcus. So, I think that those two guys – will contribute. Brad Wanamaker again showed what he can do last night in like 19 or 20 minutes, you know, 13 points. He's one of the best spot up shooting threes in the league, best free throw shooters. But we are going to have between Marcus Smart, Jalen and Jason, and Gordon Hayward and Kemba, we are going to have most likely three of those guys on the court at all times. Of those five guys. So we need guys that are going to be able to play defense, knock down an open shot. We don't need necessarily offensive creators. And matter of fact, I think that, you know, Gordon is showing how good he's playing right now. We need to get the ball in his hands more to create offense because he's such a good ball mover and, on the pick and roll. So Carson Edwards, I think Brad believes in him. If we needed some shooting, obviously Anas Kanter has played very well for us off the bench, was huge for us the other night. And I'm forgetting somebody. But
Romeo Langford.
Yeah, no, he mentioned Romeo. And that's the thing.
I mentioned Langford.
Yeah. Where do you think he is?
Yeah, I know Javonte Green can do a lot of the things that Romeo's doing too. It's just not enough room for everybody. But I like our bench. I know that it's been maligned because a lot of the time is because they don't get a chance to play consistently, and because we have those other five guys that are getting the ball most of the time. And Shimi Ogileo, that's who I was forgetting. Shimi is a guy that switches really well for us. You know, he's better against some teams than others with his switchability and versatility. He knocked down a couple big threes last night or early in the game. So, anyway, I think that we have sufficient, you know, we need to, you know, Robert was a big one for us last night just to see him play, and he's back healthy. But he brings something a little bit different than what we have on the bench, which is, a guy that can protect the rim and space the court offensively above the square.
I want wanted to get back to Romeo Langford. Where do you think he is offensively? I understand there are a lot of other top guns around him, but it looks like he's still kind of finding his stride there.
Yeah, but, you know, like, I don't know how many shots he took last night, like maybe two or three. He's a really good basketball player. I mean, the thing I like about Romy is he is has been, you know, he's one of the leading scorers in the history of Indiana basketball, and he can really score the ball. He led the country in scoring around the, in, you know, in the paint as a true freshman. He has a really good feel. He's working on his outside shooting. His outside shooting has really improved. And I think that, you know, but he's just right now, he's not getting a chance to shoot five or six in a game and take that next step. And I think he will. But what I really appreciate about him is he's able to find his way, not dominate the ball, make a contribution with his defense. And I think that that is huge for our team right now. And I'm confident that he's going to be able to knock down shots and be able to create offense in the pick and roll, even as his career progresses.
Hey, Danny, did Jason Tatum or his people ever come to you during the break and ask for an extension?
No, they know that you can't do that. That's against all the rules. You can't do extensions right now.
Well, there was talk.
You got to wait to the off season.
Okay, but wasn't there talk about a guarantee, some sort of insurance guarantee in case these players got hurt? There was some talk about how he had expressed some sort of interest in that. Was there any discussion about that since it was a different time?
I think that was more with the union and the league because those are against all the rules. We can't participate in insurance and we can't participate in extensions. So I think there was some discussion, Rich, about that, about, you know, maybe getting some protection for the players, the league contributing and things like that. And I don't think they did that. But and I don't know which individual players. A lot of times in these situations, and I know this particular situation has never happened, but where a player going into the last year of a contract might get their own insurance, and I have no idea what the individuals have purchased on their own.
But you're confident that, I mean, obviously you've been wide open about how much you love Jason Tatum. You want him to remain here for a while, correct?
Of course, yes.
Yeah, and when you see what he's done, and then you look also at Jaylen Brown, I mean, Jaylen's funny. You're watching these two, and I don't know who it was who said it, but I thought it was a good observation. It almost seemed like Jason Tatum went next level when he became an all-star, and Jaylen Brown went next level when he didn't. It's almost like the chip on the shoulder type of thing, and I take it that, you know, you've got to be impressed by what he's been able to come and how he's been able to go. At least he might be the most consistent player on this team right now.
You know, I think that both guys have been very impressive from the very moment that we got them, and they have made great strides as well. But as 19-year-old kids coming into our organization, just who they are, what they are on a daily basis, and just watching them blossom, and I think they're not what they're going to be even yet. And so, yeah, I'm very excited about their futures.
Hey, Danny, I don't want to get you in trouble here, but I like to watch these games and see who the refs are. And at least the first three, we call it the wrangle, the ref angle. You watching those first three games, do you think that the referees may have had an impact in some things that happened on the court? And also, is there something to, I don't know, Marcus Smart falling out in the third quarter, Jason Tatum having three fouls in the first quarter last night, or Jaylen Brown playing with five fouls? Like, is this just, I don't know, is it just what's happening with the Celtics right now, or are you there questioning some of the decisions from the officials?
Oh, I mean, I always question officials' calls. It's my.
Did you watch him play?
it's my greatest weakness in life right now. I'm 61 years old, and I still haven't been able to overcome it. But to be able to forgive referees, but. It's a tough job. I don't think that, you know, all those things that you just mentioned have anything to do with that. I think we've got ourselves in some tough positions. I mean, Marcus, I think, got in foul trouble the other night because we were you know, Jalen will get in foul trouble too because he's trying to guard, you know, a guy that is 20 pounds heavier and much taller than him. And because we like to play four smalls often. So sometimes it's just that they're just tough matchups. And, but yeah, there's been, I mean, every team has calls that they're not happy with. Obviously all you have to do is watch a game and you can see every coach and every player on both teams, complaining about the calls. And there's so many calls that can just go either way, even on review, even in the review is not, you know, like there's disputes on slow motion frame by frame replays that, you know, it's hard to get agreement on. So, it's a tough job.
When the league sends out though, that they made a mistake, when you get the letter, do you just roll your eyes or do you say anything? What happens there?
Most of the times I just say to myself, yeah, I know you made a mistake.
Danny, when is the last time you swore?
I don't know. Maybe in my head I swore. But yeah, I never had a sworn for quite a while, but might have said a swear word when I, you know, missed a 3-foot putt last week.
All right. Because I know, what word do you use to substitute for a mortal human being swear? Like when we're yelling, like, you know, the F bomb or S, like what does Danny Ainge say to replace that?
I'm not sure. I don't really yell things out much. I must mostly just keep it in, but.
That's not a healthy way to live, Danny.
Yeah. You know, like, I just don't know. Like, swearing doesn't help me. You know, I mean, it's not like I've never sworn before or lost my mind, but I just, it doesn't really help. I try to keep calmer in my old age, keep my blood pressure down.
As I said, you know, for most human beings, it's a natural reaction. It's not even like something you can't even think about repressing. It just comes out.
Yeah.
So instead of like the F-bomb, like we don't get like a fiddlesticks or a darn tootin' or anything like that. It's just you swallow it and it builds up inside until one day you go on like a crazy spree of violence.
Yeah, no, I don't really react with words like that. You know, okay. I don't feel the need to do that.
Far better person than the rest of us.
But last time you did, what was the occasion?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Maybe just back in my playing days, you know, like that's, I mean, those are intense moments. And, you know, there's nothing like playing in the NBA, you know, fighting for your life and playing at, you know, giving everything that you got out on the court. Those are days where it's much easier to lose control of your emotions than it is, you know, on the golf course when you're not playing well.
Yeah.
You know, I do, you know, when I do hit a bad shot, I do laugh a lot at my bad shot.
Okay.
And I guess that's my release. I just kind of make a, you know, just laugh.
And then cry. Well, that is healthier than just like swallowing it on the inside. So I will give you that. All right. Well, Danny, it was a fun game to watch last night. I know it was against a bad team or a team that, you know, doesn't have a lot of their starters, but it was nice to see the bench play the way that they did. I can't wait for this little regular season thing to be done and for the playoffs to start. And I've liked what I've seen so far. So congrats on that. All right. We will talk to you again soon next week. Thanks, Danny, for checking in on us. Appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. Have a good week. See you.
You too.
All right. See you, man.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.